With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you wish to ask. And then she can either type a response or use their voice-to-text feature, and MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy. It's something that you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. And this is something that Ethan and I had been thinking about doing with our parents. We have this podcasting equipment, so we wanted to find a way for them to tell their story. But I love this because it's so regimented. They send them a question every week, and it just makes it really easy and turnkey. And it just seems like a great way for us to get our parents' stories down so that our children and our children's children can have them. So if you're interested, check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code ATTWG at checkout for 15% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code ATTWG for 15% off today. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredients as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Getting started is so simple. Just fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. Effecty gave me the opportunity to try their service out, and I have to say, it is just as easy as they say it is. I filled out the questionnaire, and within days, a package arrived at my door filled with everything I needed and detailed instructions. Their website also tells you everything you need to know, and you can always chat with your healthcare provider. It really is that simple and convenient. So if you're ready to level up your weight loss game, my listeners can now get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code ATTWG at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code ATTWG to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So get started today. Remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took it myself and the results blew my mind. I was very wrong. If you remember, I was worried about my brain and not my cardiovascular health. And it turns out my brain's fine, but my cardiovascular health needs work. But luckily, my biological age was really right on track with my actual age, which is good because research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, and it's completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. It's driven by things like your lifestyle, your habits, and the environment you're in, which means that you have a lot of control over it. The True Age test didn't just give me a number. It showed how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was eye-opening. And I will say, I definitely picked up the workouts after I learned that my cardiovascular health isn't as good as I thought it was. The test itself was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, and it was just a quick, painless finger prick that I made Ethan do because I was too scared. You send it off in a tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. So if you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use ATTWG at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Hey everybody, it's Kona here. We don't have a normal episode this week, but what I do have is the story of the disappearance of Aisha Jackson. Aisha is a woman who went missing from El Dorado, Arkansas on October 31st, 2020. We're members of the Darkcast Network, which is a network full of indie podcasts, and one of our podcasts is Murder Mimosas. They recently sat down with an advocate for Aisha's family and talked about her case and basically that nothing has been done about it. You know, it's really tough because even her NamUs entry has wrong information. So that's why I think it's important for us to get this case out there and help amplify what the family advocate has to say, because we need to correct the misinformation that's out there. We will be back soon with our regular episodes, but in the meantime, I think it's so important to get this story out because, like I said, police just have not been really investigating this, and it definitely sounds like she went missing under very fishy circumstances. At the end of their episode, they even have an excerpt of a call between the family and the mayor, and if that's any indication of how this case is being treated, Aisha needs our help. Aisha needs awareness. Her family needs our help. So without further ado, let's get into Murder and Mimosas, the story of Aisha Jackson's disappearance.
Welcome to Murder
and Mimosas. Just a quick disclaimer before we get started. Our show is Murder and Mimosas. It's a true crime podcast. This means that we do discuss crimes, including but not limited to disappearances, murder, and sexual assaults. All our episodes are told with the respect of the victims and the victims' families in mind. We strive to ensure that we provide factual information, but some information is more verifiable than others. With that, grab your mimosas and let's dive in.
Welcome back to Murder and Mimosas. I'm Danica.
And I'm Shannon.
We are going to be talking about the case of Aisha Jackson. We were able to sit down with an advocate for Aisha's family who was willing to speak with us. So due to the nature of everything and the size of the town that Aisha's from, this person has wished to remain anonymous, and we're going to respect those wishes just to make sure everyone is safe in this scenario. But we will give you clips from that interview, as well as a clip of a phone call with the mayor that was taped. But first, let's talk a little bit about what happened, what we do know, and just kind of the general
rundown,
there you go, of Aisha's case.
Aisha, okay, can you tell us a little bit about Aisha?
From what her mother tells me, some personal questions so we can get to know her more than just she's a missing person. She loved animals, There's a story that her mother told me when she was school bus age, grade school age, she was riding the bus. There was a neighborhood dog that went missing, and Laquita, the mother, said, "Wait till my daughter gets off this bus. She'll find your dog for you." Apparently, this dog only came to Aisha, and Aisha got off the bus, and everybody was telling the dog went, into the woods, went missing, had to come out. They said Aisha walked into the woods, and less than an hour later, Aisha comes walking out with the dog beside her, just walking, found their doggy. Oh. I know. breaks my heart. She did have a dog. She had a dog when she went missing too. And some cats as well. But the dog that she had when she went missing, it was adopted by a local business here. And I've seen it and gone by and visited. It's sometimes I keep it outside in a fence. And so I'm able to, like, I'm going to cry at that. Oh my God. I'm able to, like, wave.
I know. Stuff.
I don't usually, I've been really good at not crying, but it gets me so sad. Anyway, they got it fixed and they're taking really good care of it. And, but then her mother said she always loved to dance too. So she would, that was her goal. She wanted to go to college to do business. That way she could run a dance studio. Cause the dance studio she was working, she was dancing with, they moved to Little Rock, actually, so it wasn't offered for her anymore. Yeah.
Just kind of from the top, give us the rundown of what's happened, what you guys know, maybe what isn't being told to general public that they might need to know.
The main thing is we can't really verify because we haven't we've tried to do some FOIA requests on the day, but I do have an email and I can send it to y'all to verify. The last day she can be accounted for is October 31st. I was advised by an outside agency not to release any information, in which I get, because I don't think anybody involved wants to hurt the investigation. However, I did push back a little bit with the date and they totally agreed. Yes, that's fine. So the only thing I've said was that date, because I think it's really, really important to know the last day, because nobody in this town knew it was October 31st was the last day she could be accounted for. That means phone calls. It's, so there's nothing after October 31st. She went to a party. She was dressed up for, a Halloween party, went to a party. And the next thing, the mother got a phone call saying she was on her way to Houston. And her mother hasn't heard from her since October 31st.
And on the way to Houston with her uncle. Is that
correct.
Right?
Yes. That's the story that we have been told. She tried to contact her daughter the entire time. Wasn't able to get her on her phone. So, would call like we all would do, we had a friend or a family member or a child going on a trip with anybody, we would call. And if we didn't get that, we'd call everybody else who's supposed to be with them to find out, where they are or what's going on. And, okay, well, have her call me back is kind of what her mom was saying. So that would have been a Saturday of 2020 was October 31st. Sunday would have been November 1st. Monday would have been November 2nd. So that night, November 1st, on a Sunday, the mom had talked to the uncle. This is from the mother. She said that he told her already dropped her off at home. Laquita can't drive. The mother cannot drive. She's got some health issues that keep her from being able to legally drive. She's got a seizure disorder where and it's been worse lately. She's had seizures multiple times a day. And it's been happening at least twice a week now, just from the stress. Before, she said it wasn't that often, but it's been more often now. Anyway, the point is she's not able to drive. So the next morning, she woke up her husband to go to Aisha's home to check on her, because she's like, she hadn't even been staying at that house from what we understand. Her mother said whenever the last time she saw her at the home that she had been staying with for the last couple of weeks because of, she had had some break-ins in her home, Aisha did. So that's why she was staying with the family member, the uncle and I think the aunt, I believe is what the mother said. And so that's why she was a little concerned, because she didn't understand why she was dropped off at her home if she wasn't staying there. So she went over there with her husband and couldn't find Aisha, called the police department or went up there, either one. She said she can't really remember because it's kind of foggy, but she swears she called, but she knows for a fact she went up to the police department that Monday and they told her to wait.
Yeah.
And that's why the Wednesday date, the November 4th date is out there, because that's the day that the police department came out and took the statement and everything. So As far as everything now, it's been confirmed that we are able to say October 31st is the last day, but we're 2.5 years out. So I don't know. Y'all probably know better how memories work. You know, you let things go 2.5 years. Maybe when it was fresher, you could say, oh, I remember seeing her that Sunday or Monday and didn't think anything of it because she wasn't missing until November 4th. We don't know if that's happened. And really, I don't need to know that. The police department needs to know that.
Common, because you said Aisha was going to a party. Is it common for her to have just changed plans and gone to Houston?
Her mom said, yeah, they kind of were just, I mean, and the more, you know, when you start hanging around people, you can kind of get patterns and, yeah, she said it's like, and the more I hang out with them, the more I can see, it's kind of like, there's really no, they don't really have a schedule of things. Like every Sunday we go here for church or every Monday we have brunch here. There's really no, they just kind of live, you know, just do what, yeah. So it's not uncommon for her. She said it was.
Okay.
Because I asked her the same thing. I was like, well, you got a phone call early in the, you know, night that they're going to Houston. Was that off to you? She's like, not really. We've been known to get up and go. I mean, we all.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That was one thing that stuck out to me. I was like, if I called my mom, hey, I'm just going to go to Houston.
Right.
I'd be like, what?
Yeah. So, now let's, I'm going to, this is what Laquita said, the mother. She said she never got a call from her daughter saying she was going to Houston. The call came from her uncle, the brother.
She got a call from me.
Saying I'm taking her to Houston. Yeah.
Okay.
So what night was October 31st that year?
That was a Saturday night.
Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Sunday was November 1st. So it was a fast trip. Because if you left.
And that was, and here was Houston and Houston back. Okay, yeah, that is a quick trip. Yeah.
That's less than 24 hours. Because if she was back by Sunday night, November 1st, dropped off. Yeah. It was a pretty fast trip.
Did he tell Laquita what the reason for the trip to Houston was?
He had lived, from what I understand and from what Laquita understands, he had lived in Houston prior to moving back to El Dorado. And that they had to go pick up some furniture they had left. So what? That's why Laquita, that's when she started getting like, oh, I don't know, something's off, because I don't, usually my daughter will call me back and that she was dropped off at the house that she hadn't even been staying in because she was already scared to stay there by herself. So,
yeah. Did the uncle have any explanation of why he ended up dropping her off there?
I don't think that there was even time. From what I understand, Laquita didn't even go into that with them. She was just like, where is she? Okay. She's not there. And then that's when everybody came over to Aisha's house and they called. They weren't able to take the report per the mother. And so that's why she called back Wednesday, November 4th. But he was still around. I mean, from what she says, you know, he was even organizing searches in the beginning and everything.
Okay.
Now he's,
so other than the report, what have the police done that we know? I don't just say anything you can't say, but I mean, things that you do know.
What I do know is nothing. They've arrested. No, and I'm not trying to mean that condescending. They've probably done things they can't tell me about. You know how it works. There's probably things that have been done that they're not able to tell me about. But in some cases, and I'm not saying that's what's going on here, but and also you can't insult the citizens that you serve and protect. Because after 2.5 years and nothing is being said and the correct date is not even out there for the public, when you've begged and begged and begged and begged and begged, her tattoos aren't even out there to the public. I've begged and begged and begged and begged for that. The mother has begged for that. Her correct height, weight, down to the correct spelling of her name. It's I-E-S-H-I-A.
Yeah, because I sent it to you in an email wrong, but that's what I'd gotten online.
And thank goodness Namus has been wonderful. I emailed them, and they did get with the agency. And her name is corrected on Namus now, because used to before when you would search, you couldn't find her. But that's what I'm saying.
I can't believe the thing.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to talk ill, but also you can't insult our intelligence either. The respect road goes two ways. So I know I don't need to have your file, and I know the mother and I, or anybody trying to help, doesn't need to know important information that could lead to an eviction. We get that. All we're asking for is to please just correct the information as far as, yes, her characteristics. So that's going to help if someone saw her. And that's all we're trying to do, is bring awareness to it. That's all I can do. I'm not an investigator. I'm not the police. I have no authority over anyone. All I can do is just bring awareness. And in doing so, I think those are very important things. And I've explained it to the mayor, and I've explained it to the police department, that if you lost your wallet and it was a green wallet, and it was reported that it was a blue wallet stolen, I mean, come on, this is a child. It's not your wallet. Let's get our correct information out there. So in case we do find her, and let's say something bad did happen to her, she went walking after she was dropped off, if she was dropped off, her hair had long, long braids. She had just gotten it done. And those braids are not biodegradable. So we're 2.5 years out.
Yeah.
If anybody saw loose braids, I mean, 2 years ago, what would you do? We'd just like walk past them, wouldn't we? We wouldn't think. But if it's out there and you're aware of it and your senses, you're going to be more vigilant to looking for things like that and not just kicking them over, in my opinion. But from where I stand and what I've been helping the mother with, we have not asked for anything that has to do with the investigation. We have only asked just to release what Aisha looked like and her characteristics and things that she could be identified for. And I don't think that's too much to ask. And also
it seems like it would be the very common thing with a missing person.
Well, if you want to find one, right? Like I said,
if you want to find one, yeah.
And if you want credible tips, that's what I even emailed to them. I said, you know, I don't understand how you're even able to get a credible tip if you don't have the correct data.
Well, so the ones you're getting are a waste of time because they're not accurate.
Right. Because here's my opinion. If she was missing, you know, if the last time she could be accounted for is October 31st, they've got her phone. So if someone says, no, I talked to her on the 4th or the 3rd, you would think that would be suspicious, right? Because you're able to confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not an investigator, but
yeah,
I'm trying to be.
Well, you don't even have to be an investigator to know what you need out there to find her, though.
And you won't understand how many times I've heard that there is accurate information on pets than there are humans. And that's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's when I was talking to the we've been doing the Every Door direct mailing. We've been mailing postcards out of the tattoos, trying to get just the characteristics out there to the public. Even I've spoke with them and asked them to, I've even reached out to see if they could maybe implement a sample of a missing flyer on there, because they have, you know, for lawn and attorneys and that kind of stuff. And when they call me back, when we're doing another mail out here, May 11th, when they call me back about that, they were asking how it helped. And I said, it helped hugely. So I hope one day we'll be able to see that out there. And as y'all know, there's not many people like y'all that are able to get the word out too. So a lot of missing people are left up to the families and to do. And so they're grieving, not sleeping. They have other children too they have to take care of. And that's what people don't understand. You know, her little brother was 15 when she went missing. The mother has health problems. She's not able to drive. She's got another kid to take care of. What are her options? I mean, she needs help. She needs help. And that's what we should be doing.
Is there any type of, I know different for everybody, is there any type of Facebook page or anything set up like that for Aisha?
There's a Bring Aisha Home page that her family, I think one of their aunts has out there. I haven't seen very much information on there. There's another page called Missing and, I'm sorry, I'm looking over here to see what it's called. Missing and Unidentified in Union County, Arkansas. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That one has been having a lot more information on tattoos. There's the tattoos are on there. There's a rally on there to email local officials. And also, you were talking about, I'm sorry, I'm so rambly, but there's another thing that I wanted to address. Whenever I started handing out flyers and going to the community, a lot of people I heard thought it was Saul because they made two arrests 6 weeks after she was reported missing of two men. One of them was a boy she had like dated for not long at all. When I say not long, it was like under 2 months from what the mother says. She had just broken up with a long-term relationship. So she had like a couple months before she went missing that she was single and she was, you know, dating around. I'm sure I would be at 22, but I know. But there was one guy that she was dating with and they arrested him for capital murder and nobody. And then the other gentleman, it was apparently he was trying to get the like $8,000 from them if they extortion, if they told her.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But those charges have been dropped. So they didn't have anything. And I wish that would be more clear and it would have come out. The press conference that was in February 2021 that came out because they were released from jail, that's when they announced the $3,000 Crime Stopper reward. So it's kind of overshadowed that because there was a reward now out there. But I think that other part is just as important too, that these men were released and they did not have anything to do with it. But when you arrest someone on capital murder, I know y'all are probably like most people like we are, you trust that the police wouldn't just do that unless they had some information, right? Well, there's
not the case here.
I mean, we're going on 2.5 years now, and they're clean, they're clear. So,
yeah, that's good information to know. Okay, so that was our interview with the advocate of Aisha's family. We did do a little digging ourselves, and we will recap some of the information. So what we do know is that October 31st of 2020 is when Aisha can last be accounted for. And she had originally planned to go to a Halloween party and ended up instead going to Houston with her uncle, who had recently moved from Houston, which is William Earl Parker Jr. is her uncle's name. And they came back the 1st of November that evening, and he dropped her off at her home, though according to her mother, that is not where she'd been staying due to some break-ins, though we could not find any police reports to support the break-ins. She may not have reported them. They may have happened, and she may have been too scared to say anything, just decided to stay with family. But beyond that,
well, we don't even know any of that is correct. We just know that the uncle called Aisha's mom, said Aisha's going to Austin with him, Houston with him to move furniture. And if you look up Aisha, you see she's a little bitty tiny thing. If you want somebody to move furniture, I doubt this is the person you're going to get. So her mom never speaks to her. It's all through the uncle that Aisha is going, that he dropped Aisha off. But her mother never hears from her confirm any of this.
No. So that is what we have been told, what the mother's been told, what the police have been told. Though a lot of the information that had been released by the police isn't accurate, such as they have it as November 4th was her last day that it accounted for. Actually October 31st. Her name was spelled wrong, but we will have her correct name, her correct information, and the pictures of her tattoos on our social medias. We'd love if you'd be able to share those so that that correct information continue to be pushed out there to overshadow the incorrect information. I would love to say that in this case, the police department and the mayor have been helpful, but we do have a short clip is a recorded phone call with the mayor
that will probably shine a little bit of a different light, which begs the question of why. Why is this being treated as such a hostile thing for the family to want information and want the police to get the right information? It's all a little disconcerting, but we'll let you listen to that and make your assumptions.
It's absolutely ridiculous in a young woman.
So that's what we know right now. That was a conversation with the mayor of El Dorado.
El Dorado.
I know we say it wrong. Sorry. Paul Choate. It just seems weird to me. I feel like as a mayor, I would want to know that the police are not doing following policy and procedure and doing something about it. But that's not the case here. He very much kind of gives her a veiled threat of, you won't get any cooperation from the police if you're being honest and say that they didn't follow policies and procedures. It's a very uncomfortable phone call to listen to. Yeah,
it's very threatening in my opinion.
Yeah. So all of that to say, if you have information about Aisha Jackson, about her whereabouts, about what may have happened, please contact the
El Dorado
Police Department. there is a Facebook page we will link as well that has more information about Aisha. We will post the information that was provided to us by the advocate of her family that has all the correct information. But let's do what we can to help bring Aisha home. I think her family deserves that justice.
I agree. And they need all the support they can get because they haven't had a lot so far.
Yeah. All right.
We always recommend more bubbly
and less OJ.
Cheers! If you'd like to see pictures from today's episode, you can find us at murder.mimosas on Instagram. You can also find us at murder.mimosas on TikTok, Twitter. And if you have a case you would like us to do, you can send that to murder.mimosas@gmail.com. And lastly, we are on Facebook at Murder and Mimosas Podcast, where you can interact with us there. We love any type of feedback you can give us, so please rate and review us on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. information.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.